Next step, number 697, October 14, 2021.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. We reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
Do you like those reunion stories? You know, the kind that you need a Kleenex box right next to you? I know, those are tearjerkers, aren't they? Well, you know, the ones where they haven't seen each other for several years, and somehow by a twist of fate, they're brought together. Or how about the ones where they're on assignment, perhaps because of the military, and then a child who's been born and then all of a sudden meets the father, the mother. I mean, those are heavy duty. I mean, they get me going. Waterworks all the time. How about a reunion story today prompted by the church? Yeah, we're going to do that today. Just a few moments. Of course, I want to tell you about something else coming up in the second half today. Dad, did you hear about William Shatner going up into space? Well, we're going to do that as well. There's something very special, Captain Kirk. And I'm not a big Captain Kirk fan, but I'll tell you whose fan I am. I am a big, big fan of Superman.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman. Strange visitor.
And the latest revelation about Superman. Well, get ready for this one, okay? Superman. Yeah, no, we'll just wait. Coming up in the second portion of today's Next Step. Let's start off with Pope Francis. Pope Francis, this pope who has really turned over the Roman Catholic Church, is also giving us, all of us, I think the entire world, a chance to really stop and really think about what is our faith all about. I mean, where is the practical application of the things that we are learning? And what he did this past week, he called together 40 different religious leaders from throughout the world to come and talk about some big pressing issues, including climate change. And wow, this was wild. I mean, you got people from different backgrounds talking about the commonality of their humanness, right? I told you, some brothers reunited. Well, think about this. His Holiness Karakin II, the Catholicos of all Armenians, was there. Also, His Holiness Bartholomew I of Constantinople. Yes. He is called the Ecumenical Patriarch. So among the Eastern Orthodox, this would be the Greeks, and not necessarily the Russians, even though the Russians are in there, but they do have their patriarch in Moscow, and there's some tension there and everything. But the vast number of Eastern Orthodox refer to the patriarch of Constantinople, today modern Istanbul, as the first among equals. Okay, so basically the leader, if you were to have a convocation of these bishops and patriarchs, he would be the one who would preside at that meeting. That's basically what it means, okay? But first among equals. Now, what's interesting is that, as you know, the Armenian Church is not part of the Eastern Orthodox, although we use the title Orthodox. Now, this is in the sense that we are traditional. We do have the straight line, ortho. We are straight from the beginning. And, you know, there are technical differences, but in reality, we're brothers in Christ. And when you look at it, if you look at the Pope himself, you look at Bartholomew, and you look at His Holiness Catechin, all three of them are the heads of churches that have lineages that can be traced all the way to the time of Jesus Christ. And hence they are known as apostolic. I know that we here in the West, we refer to the Armenian Church as the Armenian Apostolic Church. And I shouldn't say just West, I mean the entire Armenian Church, known as Hayastanets Arakelagan. Arakelagan means apostolic, from the verb arakel, to send. Apostolos from the Greek, to send. We are part of the apostolic tradition, and we trace our ancestry. Yes, a ecclesiastical ancestry. In other words, the Catholicos handed down that power from generation to generation through what scripturally is called the laying on of hands, in Armenian zernatrutyun, to place the hand upon him. So basically, when you find someone like Garekin II, the Catholicos of Etchmiadzin, of all Armenians, you can find a straight lineage between him and the apostle Thaddeus, who came to Armenia. Well, you can do the same thing with Pope Francis. You can follow it up and go through the lineage, and you find Pope by Pope by Pope, all the way to the time of St. Peter. You can do the same with Bartholomew, and go back all the way to St. Andrew. Okay? So you've got three apostolic heads of the churches, and the three of them were in Rome together, were in at the Vatican together just last week. So here it is, like 2,000 years after the ascension of Christ, where Jesus turns to them and says, "Go therefore to the entire world, preaching what I have taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Holy Spirit, and remember that I am with you." And from that great commission, the apostolic mission, these apostles were sent out to the entire world, given the power of the Holy Spirit, received on Pentecost. And we know that Thaddeus went to Armenia. We know that Peter went to Rome. We know that Andrew went to what is today called Istanbul or Constantinople back a few centuries ago. And each of these traditions had their start by one of the apostles. Hence the apostolic church. Now, here it is 2,000 years later. Their successors are meeting one another. And this is history in the making, right? Three apostolic successors are meeting. And in reality, biologically, Andrew and Peter were brothers, according to Holy Scripture. Peter and Andrew were brothers. Thaddeus was one of the 12. Andrew and Peter were two of the 12, okay? So you've got a quarter of the original apostles represented in this threesome. And this is like 2,000 years after Christ. They're meeting in Vatican. And they're discussing things about our world. And I thought this was so beautiful that I wanted to bring it to your attention, first of all, because it's important that we realize that faith today in this world has a place. And I think, if nothing else, Pope Francis is really pushing it to show that our faith is not something that we just wake up to Sunday mornings, but it's something that we live out every day of our lives. And on the table was issues of climate change. Now, His Holiness Bartholomew the First is sometimes known as the Green Patriarch. He's made it his mission. He's talked about climate, about environment. And very beautifully, eloquently, I was so happy to hear that the Catholicos of all Armenians was part of this dialogue and expressed himself. Now, I'm going to put links on today's show notes because it's just overwhelming, the amount of information that was passed on at this convocation. But what I'm going to ask you to do is go to those links and read about what was being said. Some of it, I think, I'll be putting Etchmiadzin links on there, so some of it is, of course, in Armenian, but don't shy away from that. If you look on your browser, you will see a small little button that will point to the English translations, and please read them. They are fascinating, and it's fascinating that this kind of dialogue is taking place in the church about ecology. I remember 2009, I was in Holy Etchmiadzin for a meeting, for a completely different meeting. And in one of the chambers, there was a meeting about green theology. What? In Etchmiadzin? Yes. 2009. I'll never forget that. And if you go through some of the next steps, this is one of the best part about doing the next step so long. We have a record. We have a history that we've gone through. Yes, 2009. I spoke about that. Green theology at Etchmiadzin. Ecology. Well, here it is, 2021, and in the Vatican, they're discussing these things among the leaders. Now, if you remember, Pope Francis back in 2015 put out an encyclical called, I don't know if I pronounced this right, Laudato Si. Laudato Si was an environmental encyclical. It was basically talking about the sanctity of our world. That we do have one place, one thing in common. And I think this is what this meeting was all about. 40 leaders of different church different religious traditions. Let that be clear too. I'm glad I'm glad I made that mistake, because I need to clarify that. 40 religious leaders. That was not only Christian, okay? There were Muslims talking about this as well. There were different religious traditions coming together. And first of all, it showed the power of the Pope, that the office of the Pope commands, that he was able to bring all these people together. But also, it does signal something different, because a lot of times we talk about what is religion? Is religion real? What does religion have to do with today's life? And I think, if nothing else, it's giving the moral foundation. We're talking about things that are sacred, namely the planet. Something here in the West, especially in America, with Native Americans who really celebrate the sanctity of Holy Earth, of the planet that we, of the ground on which we walk, about the skies that give us air and breathe. That is something that is so beautiful and needs to be celebrated throughout the world. And we saw it being celebrated this week. So like I said, I need you to read some of this. But one of the religious leaders made a comment, and I thought this was really beautiful, about the encyclical back in 2015, Laudato Si. And I'll make a note over here. I'll try to get that a copy of that on our show notes as well. The encyclical, he said, is based on solid information from science, strong input from theology, with a global vision. Now, I just heard that this week, and I thought that was, what a descriptor that is, okay? It's an encyclical based solid info from science. What? A church encyclical from a pope based on science? Not only based on it, solid info from science. Okay. But at the same time, strong input from theology. Listen to the wording in that. Isn't that beautiful? That a lot of times we talk about science and religion as being in conflict. How about when they are in harmony? Can we celebrate that? And I think more often than not, you will find that they are in harmony. In fact, I would say that there isn't a time when they aren't in harmony. Only when we put in our own understanding and our own egos get in the way of saying that, well, it can't be wrong. And we go into this apologetic mode, rather than really thinking about the consequences. There is a beauty to what science is all about. There is a beauty that we could see in the world, and we could see it reflected in science. We could see it in nature. Science explains that nature, right? Well, what does theology do? It just expresses the makeup of that nature, how that nature came to be, what it means for us. And so once again, let me repeat that. Based on the solid info from science, strong input from theology with, this is important, a global vision. And I think Pope Francis is fantastic in doing that, putting together a global vision. A global vision meaning that it's beyond his church. It's something that pertains to every single person, every single entity here in this world. That we do inhabit this one little space, and it's called Earth, and we better take care of it. And I think we had a really good demonstration of that with none other than, yes, William Shatner of sci-fi fame, but he just went up into space, and he came down trembling. And I want to share that with you in the second portion of today's show. Coming up in just a moment. So, like I said, this is just a primer. Just get us talking about it. Just to bring your attention to it. I thought it was something very special. The three brothers separated through two millennium have now reunited, come together, shared their concern as Christians, as Catholicoi, as popes, as heads of traditions, as successors to those thrones, to those seats of the holy apostles, coming together and sharing with one another concerns that are not only theirs, concerns for the planet, concerns for humanity, therefore concerns for peace. And of course, His Holiness Gaudium II took advantage of the opportunity, as rightly you should, to talk about the war 1 year ago. The 44-day war brought upon us by the barbarism, by the barbaric Azeri people. And you got to understand how delicate that situation is among those leaders. But here it is. This is the importance of bringing together religious leaders, bringing the sense of community understanding on a spiritual dimension, and that, in fact, will affect the political dimension. This is what people don't understand, the power of religion, the power of that faith. And this is why it's so important sometimes when people come up and say, well, I just read the Bible and I do. No, it's not about just reading a Bible. It's about that community, about having that circle in which you can express that faith and find some commonality. It's not about the separate, look, I'm better than you, my faith is better than yours, I'm going to heaven and you're not. No, it's about the commonality that we have to understand that we are all children of God. Like I said, check out today's show notes, and I hope you'll be fascinated enough to follow the links, to see the videos, to read the beautiful words that were shared, and more importantly, make those words, make those expressions something that you live out in your life and your faith. Let's take a break right now and give ourselves a little bit of time to digest what was said, huh? And maybe enjoy a little bit of tune, too. We're going to listen to Vitamin String Quartet doing Ice Cream. Vitamin String Quartet. You like that? That was something special. Actually, I stumbled upon this group. I don't know much about them, except they put together some great, great music. Vitamin String Quartet. Now, that song is called Ice Cream. I dedicate it to a young man who used to love ice cream cone sandwiches, of all things. But kind of like as a nice little flavor, I think, amidst the end of summer, we have what's called Indian summer here in Southland. It's like a little bit of extra heat, even though summer's over. Yeah, you get a little bit of heat over the weekend, and people go crazy. They run air conditioners and stuff like that. Well, how about just cooling off with some ice cream? Vitamin String Quartet. I will put a link on today's show notes. Hope you enjoyed it. You know, amidst all the confusion that we have in the world, did I add to that confusion by talking about the three brothers and coming together? And Thaddeus, here's the confusion. It was Bartholomew. I told you about Thaddeus, and usually people in the Armenian circle will put Thaddeus and Bartholomew together. And what did I do? I spoke about a Bartholomew. The Bartholomew that I spoke about is His Holiness Bartholomew the First, who happens to be the Patriarch of Constantinople. Okay? This is the Ecumenic Patriarch. This is his official title. Ecumenic Patriarch, the first among equals. He is the current Ecumenical Patriarch. He's the successor. His throne is the throne of St. Andrew, established by St. Andrew. So this Bartholomew, not to be confused with the first century Bartholomew who came to Armenia, okay? And I hope that cleared it up a little. I know there was some confusion the other day. We had this discussion at our Bible study, and there was some, what are you talking about? What? Bartholomew went to Istanbul? He's living in Istanbul? And wait, didn't he come to Armenia? No, two different people, okay? Anyway, I hope that, and if it still confuses me, drop me a line. We'll figure it out. So let's talk about something that is real, that started off as science fiction. Now, I've never been a big fan of Star Trek. In fact, I've never seen Star Trek. I've seen bits and pieces here and there. I know who the players are. I know who Leonard Nimoy is, and I definitely know who William Shatner is, because I've been more of his fan from another sci-fi, a sci-fi production back in the early 60s, namely Twilight Zone. He was on that one where he saw the gremlins on the wing, The Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. He was, William Shatner was the one who went into the diner and played with that fortune-telling machine. I mean, a fascinating actor. You know, you can't help but have seen him here and there in different productions and everything. Well, he is most famously known as Captain Kirk from Star Trek, and he has been to the edges of the galaxy, but just a couple days ago, he went up into outer space for the first time. Yeah! They shot him up in a rocket, and he is 90 years old. God bless him. At that age, he went up. And he went up so far, I think it was something like 52 miles off of the surface of the Earth. And there is an area called there the Kármán Line. Kármán with a K, if I remember right. And that is where, internationally, it is recognized that space begins. In other words, you're beyond the atmosphere. And he floated around there for 2-3 minutes along with three other passengers on this Blue Origin rocket that was sent up by Amazon. I think it was the second manned flight that it had sent up. One was a few months ago with Jeff Bezos on there. So William Shatner's on this flight along with three other people, and he goes to the edge of our atmosphere, and he sees the blackness of space, and then he comes down. I think it was all of 2 to 3 minutes that he was in zero gravity. The entire flight was all of 11 minutes. And fascinating to watch, it came back down to Earth and landed on Earth. I mean, this is a guy, I'm the guy that used to wake up early in the mornings when flights would take off, like 4 or 5 in the morning. I would get up in front of my black and white TV set to watch the Apollo missions fly before the moon, the Mercury capsules, then the Apollo missions flying up to space. And it just fascinated. And you know what? Here it is like 60 years later and I'm still fascinated. I was glued to the set just watching that image of this rocket going up and coming down. And when the rocket landed on the desert floor, fascinating. That was fascinating too. I mean, you know, when I think about the early capsules that used to fall into the ocean because, you know, they're coming down at such speed that they're just on fire. The atmosphere is just like burning them, the friction of re-entry into the atmosphere, that the only place that they could land them was in the ocean. And now here we are landing them right on the Earth, on the solid Earth, with retro rockets. And it was just fascinating watching that. Okay, so, yeah, I know, there's always going to be somebody, hey, didn't we tune into a religious show? What is this about, like, space? I mean, I'm talking about imagination. I'm talking about science fiction being the imagination with which reality is constructed. There it is. Reality is being constructed. Now, I hope that this is in a positive way, but not all reality gets constructed in positive ways, right? Okay, so from that imagination comes this idea. And here was the beautiful part. And if you do nothing else today, make sure you follow this link that I'm going to put on today's show notes. It's the link of William Shatner returning to Earth. And there, for the first time, you see Jeff Bezos, the person responsible for the rocket, going up to the door of the capsule, opening it up. And William Shatner comes out. And he engages in maybe about a 5 to 10 minute little dialogue with Bezos. Oh, he was like trying to find the words to express what had happened, this life changing. And then he breaks down into tears. And you know what I thought of is that movie back in 1995, 1996, one of my favorites, Contact. And it was exactly that point. The Jodie Foster character who wins this opportunity to go out into space and realizes that she was the wrong person because she can't articulate it. You need a poet. You need somebody to be able to articulate these life-changing experiences. And there you see William Shatner, very raw, talking about what he experienced. The guy who's gone all the way throughout the galaxies and known as Captain Kirk. There he is talking about this very real event and occurrence that took place in his life of going out to the edge of the atmosphere and then seeing space. And like I said, if you do nothing else, make sure you plug into that today. So you listen to him. Now, there was somebody else who was my hero back in those days. Yeah, I may not have seen Star Trek, but I did watch Superman. I loved Superman and was a big fan of Superman throughout the years. I loved the old George Reeves 1950s Superman.
The Adventures of Superman. Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman.
Strange. Yes, that's the show. The Adventures of Superman. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. He could change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel with his bare hands. But he did have a secret identity known as Clark Kent. Now, this Superman character that we'd watch on television was created from comic books. And comic books were also a part of my life. I was a big DC collector. When I say big, we were little kids. You'd get a dime and you'd go and you'd buy a comic book. They were dime, 10 cents each. And whoa, I remember when they went up to 12 cents. Holy moly. But we adjusted to inflation. We would pay the 12 cents. I was shocked. I was shocked beyond anything you could imagine. A few years ago, I was in the hospital for something and a friend of mine brought me a few comic books to read. And I'm looking at the price on the comic book cover, $5. I'm going, what? What happened to that 10 cent comic book? I guess adjusted for inflation, or what is that adjusted to? To reality, what it costs today, paper and artists and unions and fees and all that. Anyway, it is a reality today. But, you know, it was a different time. We would read these comic books. It would be definitely, you'd know they were fiction. And you can call it fantasy, right? It was a fantasy. You knew that you couldn't fly. You could think you could. You know, we'd jump on couches and pretend we were flying. But we knew that, you know, you just... basic reason took you to places where you wouldn't go and, you know, jump off of a building. You just kind of knew that Superman was different. You also understood that he was a comic book character. You also understood he wasn't real, but you also understand the fantasy of it, that this is something great. This is something that, you know, you hoped that would exist. Somebody who would come in your time of need, who would come and put out the bad guy. And do away with the bad guy. And when you think about it, Superman 1938, it was created by two Jewish men. Many people have made this analogy that, you know, when you think about what the Jews were going through in 1938 and all the difficulties they were going, maybe the hope, the hopefulness of somebody coming and doing away with the enemies. There's a lot written about the psychology of the creation of Superman, too. And later on in the 70s, I remember going to the Superman movie and watching that movie. And again, you know, here I am, a college guy, watching Superman the movie, never thinking that it's real, but also you have this hope in you, right? Of the goodness. You applaud that there is some goodness in it. If you haven't seen that, that's a definite must-see. The number one Superman movie, right? 1978, if I remember right. And throughout the years, you know, you follow, and I've been a fan of, like, Lois and Clark that came out. I've been a fan of even the latest Superman edition, which is called Clark Kent and... No, it's called Superman and Lois Lane. Yeah, the old one was Lois and Clark. Anyway, then there's been many, many redos of it. And sometimes you object, but what happened this week? This week, New York Times had an article, and I haven't seen the actual thing, but basically Superman is coming out, and he shares a kiss. Clark Kent, or Jonathan Kent, the new Superman, shares a kiss with another man, with another young man. It talks about his feelings about the homosexual drive and so on. And I'm reading this in the New York Times and feeling like all of a sudden fantasy has gone away. All of a sudden it is now in the real world. It's in 2021. But what I wanted to share with you is not so much about the story, which, you know, you're free to think about. It's basically a comic book and everything. But it's the reactions that it was getting. I'll tell you from who. So many homosexual, gays, lesbians were reacting to the story not as you would think. They were saying enough is enough. Like, why do we have to make everybody gay? It was so amazing to me. You know, I'm reading this. Yeah, they're the ones that are reacting. They're saying enough is enough. I mean, why is it that every character that we see or every story we see has this element in it? Well, you can probably argue and say, well, that's like life. You know, all of life has this element in it, right? All of life, in all aspects of life, we see gays and we see lesbians, and why not in comic books? My question is, at what point do we separate these things? I know we just had William Shatner go out, the man from the comic books, the man from Star Trek went out into reality. And so all of a sudden, fantasy has now melded in with reality, right? And he's flabbergasted. Can't find words to describe it. But is there some value to just having fantasy be fantasy and not crossing over into reality? It's an interesting question that I was thrown upon me by just reading those comments. Comments not from straight people, but from gay people. Okay, I'm reading through those. And but you know what? And let me just say this as a disclaimer. Before you start writing me and saying, oh, you know, you're just another Christian thing. There is no other priest that has gone out on a limb and has paid his dues to stand up with the gays. And I'll tell you something. There was not one of them, not one of them that stood with me during some of the most difficult and ugliest times of this ministry. And those of you who've been with us, who've followed the Next Step, know exactly what I'm talking about. So this is not about, you know, like, let's not talk about gays. There's nobody else who's been so open. But what I'm talking about is this idea of where do we get our inspiration? The same thing that Pope Francis was talking about when we, just a few minutes ago, we were talking about why did he bring in all of these religious leaders? And I guess my the bottom line is the comic book the forum in which these things should be addressed? Question. Just a straight out question. Because, you know, who's reading those comic books? For instance, there is a TV station? Oh, MeTV. Okay, MeTV. It's a wonderful station of just old-time classics. They keep showing it. MeTV, what is it called? Memorable, anyway, something memorable television, something like that. And it was interesting because the other morning they had produced this thing. It says, back to Saturday morning comics, cartoons. And so I opened it up, Saturday morning cartoons. Now that I've got a grandson, I want to know, like, are we going to be able to see Bugs Bunny? Are we going to be able to see Roadrunner? And sure enough, there they were. There they were. There they are. I'm going, wow, this is kind of nice. It's all come back. What they outlawed for so many years now have come back and they're showing it. Until it got to the first commercial. The first commercial was a commercial from ARP, that is a senior advocacy organization. The next commercial was from a life insurance commercial about talking about end-of-life needs. In other words, how to take care of your funeral expenses. And commercial after commercial is geared at old age. And it occurred to me that who's watching these cartoons? These cartoons are not geared towards children, but basically geared towards the older generation who have memories of Saturday morning cartoons. And it comes back to who are these things being geared towards? Do not fool yourselves. There is profit margin, profit consciousness. Profit consciousness on every decision that's being made. It's not because they want to bring back Saturday morning cartoons. It's that there's a group of people who will watch these Saturday morning cartoons and they will buy their end-of-life insurance to take care of their funerals. Namely, it's an older generation of people and the demographics have been explained and they understand that and they produce those hours for them. And it's the same way when they do the comic books. Who are these comic books geared towards? Well, it's obvious that they're not dealing with fantasy anymore, right? They want to bring in real life. They want to talk about what's going on. And so you get someone like me who says, who has these memories of comic books being so important in our lives as children. And I start thinking about, okay, children, are children really sitting around and reading these $5 comic books? Or have they just gone so far off that really the comic books are being geared towards a different audience? Now, here's the bigger question that I want to ask, and ask it in terms of all of this, right? Why aren't other issues being discussed? Just a few weeks ago, I had on this show my guests, KDJ and Gabriel Starring. They are now in the Central African Republic, dealing with people who deal with genocide. They just returned from Armenia, where they dealt with people who are dealing with genocide, who are the victims of hatred, who are the victims of war, victims of man's inhumanity to one another. Real issues. How would you feel if these became comic book issues? I personally would be offended. Just as I'm offended in the evenings when you sit and you listen to the late night comics and they start talking about world issues and everything has a ha-ha line to it. Not everything is a ha-ha. Not everything is funny. At some point, we need to take control and understand these things as real issues. Issues that need to be addressed. Issues that need to be engaged. That need to be a part of the conversation. They can't be just relegated to fantasy. And in so doing, understanding them as products of the world of fantasy. I look at what happened with Superman and I start thinking, like, would it have been so bad to just leave Superman as Superman? As somebody who fights for truth, justice, and the American way. And I know. That's come a long way since the 1940s and 1950s when that phrase was first accepted. Truth, justice, and the American way.
Fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
That's right. Fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. I mean, that's beautiful, right? That's something that, you know, is something you aspire to. Well, what's the clincher there? That American way has now become, some people refer to it as imperialistic. Some people refer to it as opportunistic, entrepreneurial, whatever it may be. We're not all on the same page. We weren't at that time either. It was a part of Americana, though. And it was thrown in there. Now we have new rules, new regulations, and this line between fantasy and reality is becoming more and more difficult to discern, especially when you have the fantasy character, William Shatner, Captain Kirk, too many descriptors, right? Captain Kirk moving over from fantasy to reality. Well, it's the same when we put in these people. And I told you, I don't know. I'm out there. I don't know how I would feel if comic books took up the issue of genocide. For me personally, at this point in my life, I would say that is too heavy and too real of a subject matter to be relegated to the pages of comic books. I would be insulted. Perhaps not. Perhaps it takes you to an opportunity for forum, an opportunity to speak. And that's what I throw out at you today. As something that I have to deal with, something that I talk about. I look at what's went on in Armenia. Right now there are people in Armenia on all of its borders waiting to annihilate the Armenian people. Are we willing to talk about these issues? Are we willing to talk about people who are willing to kill us for no other reason, for the bottom line fact that we cannot hide that we are Armenian? They are there to annihilate, to take over, to make their program of pan-Turkism from one end to the other end, being a solid Turkish state. And then there we are. So what do you do? Do you ignore it? Do you address it? Do you call in your leaders? Or do you use every means possible to address it and resolve it? And does that include comic books? It's interesting, huh? It's interesting. When you walk in the shoes of others, you have to kind of understand empathy, understand where they're coming from. For me, I don't know. I'm out there. I don't think that I would like these things addressed in comics. I think fantasy has its place. And perhaps that's saying a little statement about religion too, right? It has its place just as Pope Francis addressing those leaders, the 40 different real leaders of different traditions, bringing them together, knowing that they're not going to be sitting there at the climate control table with all of the political leaders, but knowing that they do influence and they do bring about change from the grassroots by talking with people about their beliefs and their faiths, their faith. It all plays into what we try to discuss here on The Next Step. All right, here's Susie to make her announcement. I'll be back in a few minutes, okay?
Before getting back to The Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The Next Step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to The Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. Thank you, all of you, the listeners, for your support, your love, your prayers. They just go a long way. And believe it or not, I love it because you've given me this opportunity to share with you some thoughts. You know, we call our Bible study, which we have every Monday night. And by the way, that's growing. I can't believe the number of people from out of the area. It started off, we used to do it as a local part of my ministry. But since the COVID, we've been going online, and it's interesting, all the different people that have been coming and going, and sometimes we get extras here and there. But we call it questions in faith, and to be able to question, and I think that's what happened today. That's what today's podcast was all about. It's about some of these questions that it's not so much about, you know, Superman coming out, but as much as, are we questioning why? Are we questioning what's really being accomplished? And I think about this in the evenings when I see people who use satire and a different type of satire. I happened upon a comic the other night. I won't even mention his name. I thought it was just filth and disgust. And I'll say that, yeah. I thought it was filth and disgust. From somebody who's on the more liberal side, I thought it was filth and disgust. Because it's obvious that, you know, there's a shock value. Now we're trying to play to that shock value. And we didn't even talk about that today when we talked about fantasy and what's being spread out as information. But what I wanted to say was that we call it questions in faith. And if I leave you with questions and questioning, it's intentional. It's not obviously I don't have all the answers, but it's not intentional. I want part of this podcast, part of The Next Step, is giving us all an opportunity to think. To not check in our brain at the door and say, okay, I'm checking in my brain for the next hour and whatever this guy says will be gospel truth. No, how about Let me think along. Let me share some ideas. Let me experience. Let me process those ideas. And if I've done that, I feel like that's part of what the next step is all about. I hope you can appreciate that. Hey, I'd love to hear from you. My address is feedback@epostle.net. Epostle stands for apostle with an E. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic world. feedback@epostle.net. That does it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Please make sure you check out the show notes. There's going to be a lot of stuff in there that you can follow up, dive into. Sometimes they turn into wormholes. Sometimes they turn into rabbit holes. Depending on what side of the fantasy scale you're on, right? Yes. Okay, that does it for today's show. On behalf of our wonderful producer, Susie, and myself, this is Father Ruskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath, cut out.